connected. Father God, we thank you for your presence with us. Father, thank you that you're so real. We honor you and worship you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You can be seated. You can be seated. We appreciate the worship team taking us through worship, helping us to enter into his glorious presence. Well, today is a special day because we have a baby dedication. And we are welcoming baby Trinity into the church family. And it's such a joy, isn't it? It's such a joy. It's such a joy. In Matthew 18:3, you'll be familiar with these verses. You can put it up. Matthew 18:3. Unless you are converted and become as little children, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So being a baby dedication, what better way to start than with some children's jokes? This is to test you. This is to test you. Check out your neighbor and see if they laugh. Or if they've lost that joy, if you don't laugh, I'm just giving you a little warning. You might be nominated for kids ministry so that you can learn. So that you can learn the joy. Being a grandmother myself, I'm relearning that you don't need anything to laugh at. You can just laugh and just the joy of life. Anyway, let's do some kids jokes and see how you do with them. So the first question to you is, why does Jesus not wear any jewelry? Why does Jesus not wear any jewelry?
Because he broke the chain.
He breaks every chain. What's a missionary's favorite car? A convertible. You're getting it, you're doing well. Okay, what's a dentist's favorite hymn? Crown him with many crowns. Crown him with many crowns. Who in the Bible is the worst lawbreaker? Moses, he broke all 10 commandments at once. Who is the greatest babysitter mentioned in the Bible? David, he rocked Goliath to sleep. Now check your neighbor. If they didn't laugh, tell them, you're on kids ministry, come on. You're gonna be nominated. Children laugh easily, but children are also very powerful in the kingdom of God. So it's a joy. After the sermon, we will be dedicating baby Trinity to the Lord. She's an answer to prayer. So we, the body of Christ, we rejoice today with mom and dad, with family and friends that have come. And for all the visitors that are here, why don't you give a little applause for all the visitors? We welcome you. We welcome you to come on this joyous day. I'm going to read Psalm 127, verses 3 to 4. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. So there's two aspects. That is the heritage from the Lord. Such a joy, such a gift. Children are a gift from the Lord. And then it goes on to say, children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Now, in those days, the arrows was the preferred weapon. Because with arrows, you can take out the enemy from far, far away. You don't need any close combat. You're not in danger yourself. But you can take out the enemy from a distance. And that is why we need to train our children up in how to walk with the Lord, that they can become such powerful weapons and have eternal significance, divine purpose. Each child is so precious, and each child has a unique destiny in God. Today is not a baby baptism. It is not a baptism. I am very passionate about this because I have seen the downside of wrong teaching in parts of the church. And I have seen the detriment it can be when people believe that by taking a baby and sprinkling them, that that's a ticket to heaven. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that you come to faith first, and then you go and you be baptized. The baptism does not save a person. Only faith through Jesus Christ can save us. Only our selves making that decision and receiving forgiveness of sin and coming to Jesus can save us. Not. So this today we dedicate the baby to the Lord. Some people say it's actually dedicated the parent to bringing up the child to the Lord. It's both, isn't it? It's both. Making a commitment to the Lord. That word dedicate means to place at one's disposal, to dedicate once and for all, to surrender an offering to God. The word dedicate is the same word as the word present. We can read Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service. It is the same word as that word present. Because the children are on loan from God, you are the guardian. God has picked you as mother and father to bring this child up in the ways of the Lord. Now, the greatest example we have in Scripture about the relationship between parents and a child is actually when we look at the life of Jesus. And it is the relationship between Jesus and the Father, a perfect relationship. Now, none of us are perfect, but that is the aim. That is our ultimate example, is the way that Jesus and the Father walk, because Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Now, Jesus lived during wartime. Remember that. Sometimes people say, oh, it's so hard. Children born nowadays, look at the terrible world they're born into. Jesus was born into a terrible world. Yeah. Esther was born into a terrible world. Joseph was born in very difficult times. Daniel was born and had very difficult. All the heroes we see in Scripture, they were all in war zones. But it is how great our God is, that they made significant difference. And God used them mightily. So we do not focus on how bad the world is. We focus on how great our God is. And when we bring up our children, we teach them to keep eyes on how great our God is. It is about what atmosphere we want to have in our homes. What are we going to teach them? So this is really, really important. We want to raise our God, we want to raise our children with God confidence. The world will tell you, raise your children with self-confidence. Well, self is only about this big, honestly. So let's raise our children with God confidence. Who they can become in God. To do this, it's like when you go on the aeroplane. You have to put the oxygen mask on yourself first. And then you do your children. And so it is with teaching children how to walk with God. We have to do it by example. Yes. You know that children, they don't really necessarily listen to everything you say, but they absolutely watch how you live. So that's why put your oxygen mask on first, and then you can do theirs. When I go babysitting and I say to a grandson, come on, let's tidy up these toys, most likely he's not paying any attention. But if I get on my knees and get the boxes out and start doing it, he immediately comes and he wants to help and he wants to do it. Children will learn by seeing. Children will learn. They are watching your life. They're watching what you're doing. When bad things happen, they're watching your reaction. They're not necessarily going to be surprised that bad things happen, but they're watching what, how should we react to this? So your reaction is really, really important. Put your oxygen mask on first. It's about being intentional. Deuteronomy 6. 5-7, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you are on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Teach them, repeat them again and again to the children. So you've got to repeat again and again the message about Jesus to your children. Make them understand. You repeat it again and again, and you demonstrate it through your life. This is what the Bible tells us to do. You look for those natural moments to do this with your children. You take advantage of every teachable opportunity. You take the opportunity to show them when something happens, what do? We pray and we trust God. You take the opportunity when there's a need to release forgiveness, that you show them that you are releasing forgiveness. You show them by when there's a need for you to apologize, you apologize and let the children see that demonstrated. Because sometimes we get it wrong, don't we? You demonstrate it. Take the opportunity during the child's early years. In the early years, mom and dad are the primary influencer. Once a child goes to school and they make friends, slowly their friend starts to become primary influencer. Yeah, you can try and delay it, but honestly, it will happen. It will happen. So take every opportunity in the early years to build that bond. Take the opportunity to get quality time where the child learns to trust mom and dad, that they can come and talk about anything that troubles them. When you put them to bed at night and they want to talk with you, don't be too rushed. I know you're tired and you just want them to go to sleep, but maybe that's the time where they actually have something in their heart that they want to say. And communication is key, because the day will come where something bad is happening. And they need to have learned to have the trust that they can come to you in the good days, so that when something bad happens, they will come to you. Communication is key. Ephesians 4:15, indeed, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Speak the truth in love. So it's a challenge for us as parents, but we want our children to talk when they least feel like doing that. So we need to have this open communication. It's always a good idea to repeat back to the child what you think they're trying to say. So you repeat back and you say, you're feeling very sad just now because such and such. And you're trying to, this is you showing, you're showing them that you're understanding them. They need to know that mom and dad understand. They need to know, repeat it back. Communication is much more about listening than speaking. But by repeating back, you are showing that you are listening. Pray for an understanding heart. Pray for an understanding heart. Communication in the home is very important. And what you discuss in your home is important. Don't be rushed to have negative talk in your home, because the little ears, they understand a lot more than we think. The little ones pick up atmosphere even from baby stage. Don't think because they don't have communication skills to express that they don't pick up, because they do. And you are responsible. God has entrusted you and has anointed you. The minute you become a father and a mother, you immediately have the anointing from heaven to deal with parenthood. That anointing does not land with the school or with the babysitter. The anointing is on the father and the mother. That is how God has ordained it. It can be tough, but you have the anointing. You can cope with it. It's the parents' responsibility to teach and train the children, not the government. Not the government, but the parents. When we were at church conference, it's just about 2 weeks ago, isn't it, up in Aberdeen, one of the guest speakers is the general superintendent of Assemblies of God in the USA. Now in the USA, he told us how many churches they have, but there's thousands and thousands of churches. I can't remember the number, but it's a huge. It's the largest Pentecostal movement in the world. And he's the general superintendent. And actually in his preach, he was more or less sharing his testimony, how he lost his father when he was just a young boy. And so his mother had to bring him up by herself. But initially, it wasn't difficult because the church family gathered around and took him out. So there was a lot of uncles and grandfathers, figures that would come into his life. And so he didn't really feel a big loss. But there came a day where he really felt the loss of his father. And then the other thing that happened in his church setting, he said there were some really nasty things that happened in the church and some bad people, etc., etc. But later in life, when he's an adult and he becomes a superintendent, he decides he's going to actually now ask his mother what really took place in the church at that time when there was all the disputes and all of this. So he asks his mother all about it. And what transpires is the mother had actually completely shielded him from all the negative talk and the things that were taking place. His mother had shielded him and she said, look, you would not be in that position today. You would not be in that God-ordained position today if you had not been shielded from this. So parents, do not entertain negative talk in the home in front of the children. It causes more harm than you know. It causes more harm than you know. We need to be intentional about what atmosphere we have our children grow up in. We need to be intentional. We need wisdom from heaven how to do that. It was a marvelous testimony. His life story was a marvelous testimony about the grace of God, that even through all that diversity, he could still reach his God-given destiny. He could still reach his God-given destiny. But clearly, after a reflection, when I thought about it, I thought his mother made a conscious decision that she was not going to let all these negative things impact her son's future. And she was a woman of prayer. Deuteronomy 4:9-10. Watch out, be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live, and be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. Never forget the day you stood before the Lord, your God, at Mount Sinai, where he told you, summon the people before me and I will personally instruct them. Then they will learn to fear me as long as they live, and they will teach their children to fear me also. Don't forget your memories of what God has done for you. Share your testimony, share the faithfulness of God, share your experience with your children and your grandchildren. It's important. So they can learn to fear the Lord. So they can learn to fear the Lord. So we need to be intentional. We want to become the foundation for the next generation to build on. Amen. Which is why we share our experience. We share the revelation that God has given us. We must pass on. Don't let the next generation have to figure everything out from scratch. Come on. Let's teach them everything. Let's pass on. Let's give them everything we have of the Spirit. From a very young age, let's give them everything so that that can become the starting point for them, and that they can grow higher and go further than what we have done in our lives. This reminds me of the Irish minister. Now, Richard, who sits at the back, he was away with Irish minister Heidi Baker. And in that ministry, when the blind eyes are open, it's a lot of children that are praying. Little children. Yes, it's the same Holy Spirit in a little child as it is in you. So we need to be intentional in teaching the children and have them start to be part of ministry at the right level, of course, and with the adults there from a young age. There's specific responsibilities to husbands, and there's specific responsibilities to the wives. And they're not exactly the same. We are all equal in God's eyes, but we do have unique roles. And that comes out in the home. Malachi 2:15 says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? So husband and wives are one unit. In body and spirit, you are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. Godly children. So God's intent is for children to be brought up in unity. In unity. This is why I was stressing about communication. You know, what do you discuss at the dining table? Because you want to keep that unity so the children feel a safe environment. Husbands, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So this is God's design. So the husband has the primary responsibility for setting the tone of what love is. It is the father's responsibility to demonstrate to the children what love is. Of course, both father and mother does it, but the husband has a special responsibility given by God, because the children are watching to see what is the relationship with mum and dad. The children are watching. They're watching, and they pick it up in the atmosphere. They pick it up very quickly. So husbands, you are setting the tone. You are setting the tone in the home to demonstrate God's love. And when we minister to broken people, how often the people that have a lot of brokenness and hurt is because as children, they missed that out. They never got to experience the love of their earthly father, and so they're struggling to understand the love of their heavenly father. Because when you grow up, fathers, you are the example that the children have of the father's love. You are the example. You are the way that your children will interpret the love of the father. What else would they get it from? They'll get it from you. Now, ladies, you are responsible to set the atmosphere in the home. You are responsible for the atmosphere. You're the atmosphere setter. Us women tend to very often be the ones that talk the most in the home, isn't that true? It may be not true in every home. So it's important, that's why I say, let's be intentional about what we say. Let's be intentional about what we allow children to hear and see. Make sure you play Christian music. Make sure you play Christian music in your home. Make sure that you create an atmosphere of Holy Spirit for the children to grow up in. It's just so important. And for the little ones coming up nowadays with AI and internet, as parents you need a lot of wisdom and make sure their screen time is controlled and not overwhelming. I think that is a really big thing nowadays. We need, as Christians, we need a lot of wisdom, especially as our children grow up. So husbands, set the standard of love, and the wife is responsible for the atmosphere in the home, that it is an atmosphere of peace that hosts the presence of God. And as a church, we want to contribute as well to bring the child up. It says in Proverbs 22:15, a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. A youngster's heart is filled with foolishness. So this means the little children, they are not actually capable of making sound decisions for themselves. So as parents, you're the one that have to teach them. On a Sunday, it's God's day, and we go to church. This is what we do. This is what we do. How often I've seen very small children and the parents just ask them, do you want to go today? No, I don't feel like it. All right, you can just stay at home then. This is not wisdom. I'm sorry. This is not wisdom. Okay, if they're this height, that's different. But at this height, no, this is not wisdom. Why? Because the scripture tells us their brain is not, they're not developed yet to know what's good for them. Because if you ask them on the Monday morning, do you want to go to school? Some of them will say no, but you know what's best for them. You know they need to be educated. And so we need to make sure that we, over the years, teach them how to make good decisions, but when they're small, you make the decisions. It's not up for discussion. It's not up for discussion. You need to show discipline. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. We know this verse, but let's also practice it in our homes. God only disciplines his own, not others. Do you know that? God disciplines us because we belong to him. He doesn't necessarily discipline the people in the world because they don't belong to him. Now, when you have to discipline your children, which you will have to from time to time, here's a good tip. Pray before you do it. Send a quick SOS prayer that you will do it in love, so that the discipline comes across in love. It is firm, but it's founded in love, and that they will sense and feel and know that you are doing this for their best. You're not doing it out of anger. Doing things out of anger is not a good way to do it. It's not very successful, because then they learn what anger does. And that is not what we want to show or what we want to exemplify. So it's not an angry outburst. It's a firm conversation that reminds the child what the boundaries are and what the rules are. And they have, that gives them safety in the home. Now, as your child grows up, you want to really cover them in prayer. And in a moment, we're going to do the baby dedication. And after the baby dedication, there will be prophetic words spoken over the child. We do this purposely because prophetic words gives us insight into the God-given destiny of the child. So that mom and dad can pray into these and speak into that. Speak God's destiny over your child. Do it frequently. Do it daily. Pray it into being. It's very, very important. And it's very, very effective. Because this is how God did it. He spoke and the whole universe came into being. So when we speak God's words about our child over them, it changes the atmosphere and it allows Holy Spirit to work. So this is why we do the prophetic words for the child. And of course they will get more prophetic words as they grow through their life. Mom and Dad, record the prophetic words, pray into them, and then when you get the confirmation, that is what you speak and when you pray over them. I heard a marvelous testimony from Emma in Glasgow, and she said that one of her sons wanted to be an Olympic swimmer, but he had to have a certain height. She says, the problem is, I'm a short woman, my husband is short, all of our grandparents, we are all short people, not tall people. And my son, in order to do this, needs to be tall. So she said every day, she would speak over him, in the name of Jesus, you are going to grow tall. In the name of Jesus, you're going to grow tall and you're going to be an Olympic swimmer. In the name of Jesus, you're going to grow tall. And guess what? They all like this and he's like that. Because the word of God is powerful. So this is just a very simple example, but speak God's destiny. And then as you hear the prophetic words, you know, if the Lord says that a child is going to grow up and do a specific profession, then when that opportunity comes along, you already know that that is God's will. Then Put your effort behind it. Put your resources behind it. If the Lord has said that the child will study a certain thing, when it comes to that day, make sure you have your resources and then the funding that you can support that, because you already know that's God's will. You see, God gives us prophetic words, but we need to align ourselves with God's will. We align ourselves with what God has said, so we partner with God. And then when that child comes and you start to see elements that line up with the prophetic word, you can support it. And you can say, yes, I think you should go to this class. I will be happy to take you there every Thursday. Because you already know. So when you get the prophetic words today, Mom and Dad, keep them recorded in your heart. Record them in your heart. Pray that into being. And you will see the fulfillment, the baby's destiny. God is good. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to get ready for the dedication now. And we can remove the camera and we can put some chairs here, and then we'll ask the family to come and sit at the front, and I'll hand over to Melvin for this.
Hallelujah.
So, saving and grace ability comes to the front.
Cheetah's going to play the song, the blessing.
I'm going to play the song.
After the dedication.
So, as Marita just said, that once we do the dedication, we have a prophetic team who are going to come forward. And I see that Grace has already got her mobile there to record. And what we will say is that once you've recorded all the prophetic words which you get over Trinity, then you open a book and you write down the prophetic words. And that will be the first prophetic words for this child, because during the course of her life, there will become other prophetic words into her life. But this starts you off and it lets you know what God has called Trinity to. The things you can expect to see, and to help you to pray into her life.